Amen. What a blessing. That song goes right in line with the message this evening. Didn't anticipate, kind of as I prepped for this sermon, I wasn't settled on what to preach yet. And earlier in the week, I wanted to preach something else. And the Lord just kept bringing me back to this passage. And then through this morning, the Sunday school lesson, and then tonight, the song, it really was just clarifying. The Lord just clarified that this is where we're supposed to be tonight. So we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 4. If you go ahead and stand, we'll get right into the reading here as soon as you find your place. If you just go ahead and stand, and we'll read the first 8 verses of 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4, verse number 1. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Let's pray. Lord, as you come before this evening, pray that you would help us as we dig into your word. Pray that you'd help give me clarity to speak. Help me to say what you would have me to say. Calm my nerves. Pray that you'd help each one of us to take the word and what you've said here from Paul to Timothy, and you'd help us to apply it to our lives tonight. Lord, we love you, and Jesus, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. It's sure a blessing to be here tonight, and just I've gotten to meet most all of you. I think nearly everybody I've met at least once, and I've probably called you 3 different names in the time that I've been here this weekend. But I'm thankful that we're here tonight. I'm thankful that we have a church. I know you all are thankful for that. You made a priority to be here tonight, and it's a blessing that we have this fellowship in this time together. But outside of these doors, there's a world and there's a culture that sin is everywhere in. Sin is prevalent in our movies, in our politics, in the social agenda that's out there. It's on social media. Everywhere we look, there's sin. You look at people's lives here in Leavenworth, in Lansing, in the areas around here. They're addicted to drugs, to alcohol. They're angry. They're trying to find different ways to cope. Using marijuana, alcohol, going back even to drugs, other things like that. But there's only one solution. And that solution is the gospel. The gospel is the only thing that's going to change someone's life out there in the world. There's no self-help program. Doing better is never going to be enough. And that's where they're going. They're trying to go to these different ways, different things, trying to find ways to cope, to seek something else to make them feel better inside. But they're never going to get that feeling. And there's only one solution to the problem that they're in right now. And that's the gospel. And since the gospel is the only hope for people to see a lasting change in their life, they want change in their life. And that's why they're looking. But we've got to take the gospel to them. The word must be preached. And we hear this passage, and we've heard this passage. Perhaps you've heard it at like preacher's meetings or other things. But the truth of this passage in 2 Timothy is not that just for the preachers. It's not just for those called in ministry. But it's for each one of us here today, because the gospel must be urgently preached. The gospel cannot be left and relegated to something that we don't do much, or it's behind us, and there's other things more important. But we must preach the gospel urgently. And why must we do that? What is the purpose? Why is it so important that we don't just share the gospel with someone, but we take it to them urgently and we preach it to them and we go out door knocking. We go out on visitation. We pass out tracts in our daily life. Why is that important? And that's what this passage is getting us to. And a little bit of context, Paul, he's writing this to Timothy. This is Paul's last book. This is the last chapter we believe that Paul wrote in the entire Bible. It's coming days, weeks, maybe months before Paul's death. And we saw that as we read, and we'll get into that here in a minute. But at this time, Timothy, he was the pastor of Ephesus. Ephesus was a big city in that time, but it was also a wicked city. If we think back, I don't know if you've gotten to it or Acts in your study on Acts or not, but there was a huge uproar in the city of Ephesus when Paul came. He preached. He was there for 3 years, and people were getting saved. They were growing, and the people and the silversmiths and the tradesmen there who were making their money on the idols, they stirred everybody up. There was a huge uproar. Paul's life was in danger. Other people's lives were in danger. There was all this stuff that had gone on in Ephesus. And that's the same culture that Timothy's trying to work and to minister in. And this is Paul's last opportunity to encourage him. The church at Ephesus, it was a flagship church. It was a church that everybody was looking to for some direction, for leadership. They knew the relationship Paul had with Timothy. And Paul knew he had one chance, one more chance to encourage and to charge Timothy. And this is what the Holy Spirit led him to write. He said, "The older generation charged the next generation to urgently preach the gospel." And Paul charged Timothy, not based on who Paul was. He's not saying, "I charge thee as Paul." But he's saying, "I charge thee before God and Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing." There was only one person that Timothy was accountable to. There was only one. There was no one else. He wasn't accountable to Paul. He wasn't even ultimately accountable to the people that he was going to be preaching to. He was accountable to God and to God alone, because that is who his judge would be one day. And it's not, and that same truth, the responsibility that we have the same judge. We have the same judge, Jesus Christ, who died for us and who will judge us one day. We have that same judge, and our role and our responsibility is the exact same, because our judge is the exact same. Paul charged Timothy to preach the word no matter what the circumstances were. The word "preach" here in verse number 2, it's to preach, to proclaim, to herald, to sound out the message. A herald has one job, just one, to faithfully carry out the message of his king for all to hear. Each word, that definition is very key to catching the idea. You had to be faithful. There was only one message. It wasn't his. It was his king's. He had to take that to every single person individually. People's lives would hinge upon the message from the king. He might sound out a message of a meeting. All the kingdom needs to meet here, for the king's going to give an announcement. It could be the announcement of a war declaration. Different things. The herald had to be accurate, because if he failed, he risked people's lives. And Timothy's job was the exact same. He was to herald biblical truth. And Paul tells us how he needed to herald it, to be instant in season and out of season. He had to preach the word, whether it was convenient or whether it wasn't convenient. The word here, but that gives the idea of being instantly, not just stationary, but always pressing forward, giving the idea of insistence and urgency, whether it's convenient, whether it's not convenient, whether the people were all for the message or the people were completely against the message. Timothy needed to preach no matter what was going on around him. He couldn't let the culture dictate what he needed to preach. He had to preach what God had called him to preach. There would be days that he was tired. There would be days that he was challenged. There would be days when he spoke to so many people and got nowhere. There would be discouragement. He'd have people leave the church. And his job was still to go to his pulpit, if he had one like this. However he proclaimed the truth to the people that he was called to minister to, he had to get up each week, each day, however often he preached. He had to get up there and preach the word, but not just to the people in his church, but also to the people around him, to that same culture that was putting all the pressure on him. He had to be faithful to preach to them. There was going to be days of persecution, but he was still commanded to preach what God called him to preach. Timothy had to preach as a dying man to other dying men because their lives were in danger and God was his judge. And Paul told Timothy what preaching would look like. It wasn't just sharing truth. We're going to have a family talk today. No, it was reprove, rebuke, exhort. It was directed preaching at their lives, calling them out, calling out their wrong, confronting their sin, exposing sin in their lives. It was warning them of sin's danger, correcting people when they were living in sin. But it had to be done. There was also exhorting that had to be done. Encouragement. You're going in the right direction. Keep going. And it had to be done with the right spirit. He doesn't say reprove, rebuke, exhort, and just leaves it there. He tells us how he needed to do that. He needed to do that with all long-suffering and doctrine. He needed to be patient. And he needed to teach them why he was correcting them, why they needed to change, what was going on. He needed to teach them, exhort them, encourage them. And today's preachers must follow the same divine method that God has placed here. We're called to reprove, to rebuke, and to exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. We must preach day in, day out, when it's been an easy time, when it's been a hard time. When you have a mess like this in the parking lot, and when there's the packed out house and you're preaching to a preacher's meeting. You have the highs and you have the lows. But God has called preachers, Brother Tad, myself, others, to preach the word no matter what, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. But he's also called you to the same thing. He's not just saying just for the preachers to preach. He's called each one of us. He's given us the Great Commission to go out and to preach the gospel to every single creature. Each one of us have the same responsibility to the lost and dying world out there and to our judge, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have that exact same responsibility. But too often, we're prone to water down the message and to waste the time that we have here on this earth to share the gospel. How often have we found excuses to not come to door knocking? To not come to soul winning. How often have we not talked to that person at the store? How often have we put our own comfort? It's been a long week. Door knocking can wait. I'm tired. I don't want to get up early. I don't want to talk to people today. I want to just go through the grocery store, get my stuff, and just leave. I don't want to talk to people. I don't want to deal with people. I've had enough people for today. We tend to soften the blow sometimes. Sometimes we go and we take a tract to somebody, go, here's an invitation to church. We'll see you later. We don't follow up with them. We don't try to engage with them in the gospel. We let ourselves just get in front of the message. And it's so easy to do. I've done it so many times. There's been times the Lord's convicted me, said, hey, get that person a tract. And I go to get a tract out of my car and I don't have any. I go to talk to someone at the store. I go pick up parts from someplace. And the Lord's like, hey, you haven't talked to them in how many weeks about the gospel? You haven't talked to them about the salvation in how long? You haven't even invited them to church in so long? I'm like, well, I'm busy. I'm thinking about other things. I was like, that's not what this passage says. This passage says you have a message to preach to them and you're responsible to me for it. We can't let our own selves and our own comfort get in front of the message that God has for us. When we're at the grocery store and it's not comfortable, we still need to talk to them. We're door knocking. We don't need to just stop at giving them a track. We need to say, hey, I love the time I got to spend with Brother Glenn yesterday. Nearly every house, if we got to talk to someone, he's like, hey, can I ask you a question? Can I ask you, if you died today, are you 100% sure where you're going to spend eternity? He was faithful to do that, and it was such an encouragement to me and a challenge even to me to try to get the gospel in a lot faster, a lot quicker. So he made sure everyone knew, everyone was confronted with the message of the gospel. When you're at a family gathering and things, you have unsaved members and you have saved members, and there's this tension between the two, and it's uncomfortable, and you know, if I bring that up, Uncle Charles is going to just light into me because he's an avowed atheist and agnostic and hates God and hates everything about it. But you don't know that maybe one of his kids or one of the other nieces and nephews, they're open to the gospel right now. They've been thinking, what is this world? What's the purpose in life? Why was I created? They've been thinking these things. And we need to be faithful to take the gospel to them because God is our ultimate judge. So we need to preach the gospel to please him, not to please people. And this generation of Christians must urgently preach the word because time is limited. Paul tells Timothy here, there's going to be a time when people aren't going to be open. There's going to be a time when, he says in verse number 3, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Right now they were enduring truth. They were putting up with it. But there's going to come a time when they wouldn't even put up with it. They were going to completely reject it, completely leave it behind. The truth would become repulsive to them. And time was limited for the lost because they will eventually stop being open to the gospel. They would heap to themselves, it's like gathering a harvest in. Teachers, people that would say whatever they want to hear. One man said, they're looking for the kind of interesting and spicy bits of information that's going to please them. It's like, look, they're looking on their, maybe modern day, we could say, they're looking on their favorite YouTube pastor, their favorite YouTube teacher, their favorite Bible scholar on YouTube. Maybe they're church hopping from church to church to church to church, just to find the message that pleases them. Sadly, we can even see it in young children. And maybe we saw it, maybe you all saw it this week in VBS. I know I did whenever we had our VBS, my home church. Young kids who'd go, okay, I'll come to church today, but what are you going to give me? Oh, are you the church that lets us play Xbox and feeds us lunch and dinner and such? Like, we're the church where you can learn about Jesus who died for you. And like, no, I want the Xbox church. There have been kids that I've talked to that go, well, you're not the Xbox church. You're the boring church. You're the church that just talks about Jesus. I want to go to the church that has the Xbox. Even at a young age, their tendency is towards an itching ear mentality. They're going after what they want to hear, what pleases them. And that's now. And they're 7, 8, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Their parents are the same way. What are they going to be in 10 years? They're going to be the current generation that we're called to reach. Are they still going to be open to the gospel? Now, sometimes they will still come. Like, all right, we'll put up with it this week. And that's an opportunity we have. They'll come to VBS because it's fun. That's an opportunity we have. But that time, that window is this much out of their entire lives. And we don't know what that time is. Because eventually, they're going to completely reject the truth. The word turn away here. It's not just like looking away from it, but it literally, it's a medical term that means to wrench out of joint. They're willing to go through extreme pain and intentionality to get that truth away from them. They don't want to hear it. They want to hear what they want to hear. They want to hear their own fables, their version of the truth from their personally selected teachers. And Timothy had a limited time to reach people before they turned away. Because the next generation, because Paul's telling Timothy, the next generation, you, Timothy, us today, has a limited time to reach people. You must make the most of that time that you have. He says, watch thou in all things. Be sober, be vigilant, be well balanced, keep an eye out, to be looking. Be vigilant in your service to the Lord. And because he had a great calling, there's going to be some afflictions. It wasn't going to be easy. He had to be watchful. He couldn't let things come into his life that would distract him from the message that he was called to preach. And we can't let things come into our life that's going to distract us from the message that we're called to preach to people. We can't allow those other voices, those influences, even our own flesh. We can't let that come between us and the message of the gospel, because people, their time is limited. Our time is also limited. We don't know what that window of time is. It could be this much window of time, or it could be a small, tiny window of time. Timothy had to spend all the time he had preaching the gospel, and he had to remain faithful to the end. And us today, we must also make the most of the time that we have. We can't allow a single moment, a single time, a single interaction with people to leave us behind, because we don't know what that window is. That could be our only opportunity to reach that person. That could be that person's, that person could be a thought this morning, you know, why was I born? And they're that day they're wondering. And the next day they're not going to be thinking about it again. We don't know what that time is. 50 to 60 years ago, people were open to the gospel. Churches were growing. Sunday schools were growing. People were being saved. But today, many people go to church just to hear a watered-down gospel. They go to church because that's what their parents did. That's what they know they're supposed to do. But they're not going for the preaching of the word. They're going to get their ears scratched. They're going because they like what they hear. They like what the message is. If you told someone 30 years ago that churches would actively promote homosexuality, they would think you're crazy. But that's the world we live in. A couple months ago, 3-4 months ago, I was out door knocking. The lady, I knocked on her door. I talked to her for about 20 to 30 minutes about the gospel. And she goes to a church where her pastor is lesbian. And she's like, why do I need to believe in hell? What is the importance of hell? And I began to tell her, I'm like, she's like, hell doesn't exist. Why does it matter? Maybe that's great for you, but for me, I don't believe that. I think that's a mean God. And I'm like, and I tried to talk to her over and over and over. And I'm like, God is just, and he punishes sin. But he loves us so much that he sent a Savior. She's like, why does that matter? Why does the punishment for sin matter? I'm like, okay, if I'm wrong, if you're wrong, what is that going to mean for you? That's going to mean you're going to spend eternity in hell. And if I'm wrong, what does that mean for me? That means, okay, so I was worried about nothing. But what if you're wrong? She's like, I don't get it. I don't get why you're so set on this. And I don't remember what I said, how it ended up transpiring, but eventually she got it. She understood how she was going to face eternal judgment. And she's like, oh, I see. Well, I'm good. I don't need that. I don't need your truth, because I have my own. Even though she understood and she recognized, logically speaking, she was in the wrong, she was still set that she didn't need God. She had her own version of the truth, and she was going to continue to pursue her own version and not be willing to change to what God had said. Another, just this week, still heavy on my heart, one of the kids, I had the opportunity to lead a bus in the south side of the city in Moore, and a young lady began to ride for VBS. She loved riding. She loved church. She'd get back on the bus, and we'd ask her what she learned, and she would tell us all about the stories she learned and the different things. And I've been door knocking the house, and a couple weeks ago, I went over there, and her mom's like, she's not going to go this day. I'm like, okay. And so I move on, and so we go about our route, come back a couple weeks later, and we're talking, and I'm like, hey, so what's going on? Like, she wants to come, and I get here, and she wants to go, and then Sunday, you're like, no, she's not going to go. And she's like, well, it's my husband. My husband doesn't want her to go to church. I'm like, well, why? Well, she's like, I don't really know. So he only speaks Spanish, and so this week, Brother Merlo, Southwest, my home church, we started a Spanish church about 20 years ago, and Brother Merlo's the pastor of there now. Hang on, sorry. And so he went over there to visit her. I believe it was yesterday. He swung by the house. He talked to the mom, and the mom's like, she's like, if I send her to church, my husband gets mad at me and yells at me, and it's a bad thing. And he's like, why? Why? She's like, he just doesn't want her to go to church because he doesn't want her to be indoctrinated. He's not atheist necessarily. He's not Catholic. He just hates church. But that, we had a window of opportunity with Camila. 2 weeks. We didn't know that. We thought we were going to have a long time with her. But right now, it doesn't look like we're going to have much opportunity aside from just when we're in the neighborhood door knocking, where we're going to have an opportunity to reach her with the gospel. As far as I know, she's still not saved yet. But that window of opportunity was so small. And there are other stories. Francis, he's a young man, again, from our bus route, that we didn't know. He came to church. First Sunday, he got saved. We presented the gospel on the bus. He heard the gospel in the preaching time. He got saved that day. Praise the Lord. We find out about 2 weeks later that they're moving to Tampa. They're going to be gone. But we had 6 weeks with him. He got saved the first week, and he grew tremendously in those next 5 weeks. But we only had a window of time with him. What would have happened if we hadn't presented the gospel on the bus? If he hadn't heard the gospel in junior church? That 6 week time period, would he have heard the gospel again? We don't know. But the Lord allowed us and just gave us clarity, and it wasn't something we typically do on the bus where we present the gospel, but just with how things were going, I pitched it off to our bus captain at the time, and I'm like, hey, why can't you get to heaven any other way than Jesus Christ? And so he went on and he gave the gospel, and that young man was locked in, and he got saved that day. But what if we'd not taken that time? What if we just said, the kids are too crazy today. It's not worth it today. We don't normally do this. Why would we do it now? But we got to get to people before they're closed off. They could be like Francis. They could be like Camila. They could be like that lady I talked to. We don't know where people are going to be, but we have one opportunity, one time period. We have one interaction with them. We don't know how much more time we have with them, but we must make the most of every minute we have. You don't know how much time you have with that coworker who's unsaved. You don't know when his last day at work's going to be. You don't know when your last day at work's going to be. It could be that boss comes in tomorrow. Okay, we're laying off this section of workers. You're never going to see him again. It could be he's been having attendance problems. He gets fired in 3 days. You don't know what that time's going to be. He could be contemplating suicide. You've heard his family's fallen apart. You've heard his wife left him. Or her husband left her. There could be family situations that you don't know about. He could be contemplating suicide. And you just don't know how much time you have with him. So make the most of it now rather than waiting. Teenagers, you don't know how much time that young person that you go to school with is going to be in that school. You don't know if they're going to OD tomorrow. You don't know what their life's like at home. They could also be thinking of suicide. You don't know what's going on in their life. You have a window of opportunity to reach them. Use that opportunity wisely. Use it with the idea that God is your judge and that you're responsible to those people to reaching them with the gospel. You don't know what the future holds. So make the most of every moment that you have. Think of that person that you know that needs the gospel. You know they need the gospel. Make the most of that time you have. Those of you that are going to college, whether here in the Kansas City area or other places, you don't know what your students, your fellow students are going to be like. You don't know how long you're going to have that professor. Make the most of every moment you have to reach them with the gospel because you don't know the future. Seniors, you don't know that person next door, that lady you play something at the community center with or whatever. Whatever you do as an older person, I don't know. I've never been there. But you know the people you have interaction with. You know those people. You know those people who are good. They've lived their life. And they'll tell you, oh, I'm good. I think I'll go to heaven. I lived a good life. I was religious. I went to church all my life. But you don't know when their last time on earth is going to be. You don't know when your grandchild's going to stop listening to you. When they're going to turn 18, they're like, I'm done with this family. I'm gone. You don't know when that time's going to hit. So you need to make the most of the time that you have to reach the people that you have contact with. Because there's going to be a time, the older generation's passing off the scene. And so this whole passage is about Paul's passing off the scene. He's charging the young people, the next generation, Timothy, us today. He's charging us to remain faithful to preach the word. Paul knew his death was at hand, and he had been faithful to the God who called him to that. He talks about how Christ, that he rewards his children. Verse number 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. And not to me only, it's not just for me, but unto all them that love his appearing. The idea is just those who are faithful to the end, that are faithful to what God has called them to do. God rewards his children when they're faithful to serve where he has called them. They can come in opportunities to invest in people. They can come in opportunities. We even heard it this week. 3 souls getting saved. That's an opportunity you have, and a reward that Christ gives to those who are faithful. He gives opportunities to, he says it here, he gives a crown in heaven for those who are faithful. We must urgently preach the gospel to people we meet in our daily lives. Being urgent with the gospel, it means find that coworker that you know isn't saved tomorrow and going, hey, let's chat at lunch. Hey, why don't you come over to our house this week? Let's find a time. Invite them over to your house. Spending some time with them. Spending intentional time. Not just shooting the breeze, talking about the sports teams, talking about how the Thunder won the championship, how the Kansas City Royals are doing, how the Chiefs are going to win it again this year. You can't spend your time doing that when they're going there on their way to hell. You need to be intentional with the time that you have. It means sharing the gospel with your unsafe family member, calling them up tonight even, saying, hey, it's been a while since we've chatted, or maybe you just chatted this week. Hey, I've had you on my mind. Can we talk a few minutes? Spend time with them, calling them, explain the gospel to them. If you're going to urgently share the gospel with people, then you need to live in a way that makes people want to hear the gospel from you. You can't just be living life like you did before you were saved. You shouldn't have a negative spirit. You shouldn't be known for a wicked lifestyle. You should be known for your commitment to Christ and his word, the calling that you have on your life. You also need to have the ability to reach people. You can't urgently preach the gospel if you're not prepared. You need to be urgent and prepared by carrying tracts with you, carrying them in your pocket, in your car. Have an idea, even just something as practical as having an idea and an outline of how you're going to present the gospel to someone. Simple things like that. You can't urgently preach if you're unprepared. It'd be wrong of me to come up here and say, I don't need notes. It'd be really rad if I did that. I don't need notes. I can just wing it. That's not urgently preaching. That's not being faithful to the calling God has upon me. You can't do the same with when you go to people and just go, hey, I'm just going to wing it. I don't need to be prepared. Have a plan. Go through the Romans road. Memorize it. Internalize it. Be faithful to outreach. Be faithful to inviting people that you have in contact with in your neighborhood. Taking time even through the week. Hey, as a family, we're going to go knock this street in our neighborhood. We're going to go this summer. We're going to try to knock every door in our neighborhood. Or every door in this block area. We're going to try to meet people where they're at and take every opportunity we have to reach them. Despite the uncomfortable nature of the gospel, it must be shared with people because they're on their way to hell. And you have a responsibility to your judge and to the calling God has upon your life to reach them with the gospel. And if you waste that time, what's going to happen? Where are they going to spend their eternity? Because you chose to waste your time. Because you chose to put comfort in front of you. They're going to spend eternity in hell. Because you chose to waste the time that you had. Do you know how much longer that coworker, that family member is going to be open to the gospel? That friend? You don't. So take the gospel to them today. Don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of it. To fail to apply the message is to deceive yourself into thinking you're okay and you're being faithful to the gospel, to the word that God has called you to obey. And potentially, it might even result in someone going to spend an eternity in hell because you failed to take what God has called us to do and to take the gospel to people's lives, to interject it into their lives, to take the opportunity that we have and preach the gospel to them. Come this evening and commit to what the Lord has said. Since time is limited, it's time to preach. We can't let another moment go by without taking the gospel to them. Don't waste the time you have. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you this evening, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for the message you have here for us. I pray that you'd help each one of us to take it and to apply it to our lives, Lord. Not to let our own comfort and our own desires come between us and the message you have, and the message that you've called us to take to people, Lord. Love you. Would you help us to apply it and to obey you? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.